The Holy Gospel, a reading from the 5th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. We listen together to the 13th through 16th verses. Jesus teaches this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by people. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is our gospel for this day. It's a gift from God. You may be seated. Well, true joy to see each of you today, and I had to work with you for how many years? I quite expected that introduction today. Thank you, my friend, Pastor Gary Olson. Love you dearly. And if a few back etches come during this message, receive them with joy, okay? I'll tell you, it has been just a gift to me to be able to come alongside of my good friend Gary and do what God has entrusted us to in this place. And as much as we like to chide each other a little bit and poke, it's all in good fun and with a great amount of love and respect. So today, the scripture sets up for us this opportunity to be salt and light. And I could think of no better text than to be the last moment that I speak within this community of faith that I love so much. So we're going to allow God to speak into our hearts through the words that Jesus speaks on the Sermon on the Mount. They're not words for long ago. The image of salt may be difficult to get around because it's not utilized in the same way that Jesus was using it, but we're going to unbundle that. We're going to figure out that really what it means is that you and me, we are called to be spice for the kingdom of God. I think we get what the light image is all about. But as we dive into this, may you open up your heart. That would be more than anything what I would desire. And here's something fresh. Even though you probably have heard it many, many times before. And allow God to guide your life into the days that are yet to come. Let's pray over this moment. Lord God, guide us. Instill in us a fresh, new spirit. May we find hope and joy in what we do. May we know that we were put on this earth by you, created in your image to do good works. May we not resist. May we not feel discounted. May we not feel inferior. But may each person in this room and all those that might be a part of hearing the message that comes for generations yet to come, may we respond. It is in the great guiding name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. It was 4:30 in the morning. That's too early for me. I had to make a flight back here to Chicago, so I left our new home in Queen Creek, Arizona, and headed the 30 minutes to Sky Harbor Airport. When I left, it was pitch black. But as I drove on the roads, the iconic hills of Phoenix started to blossom forward as the sun was rising. I couldn't believe how many people were on the road at 4:30. Individuals in that hot climate of the United States, they get to work real early in the morning and cut out maybe about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the thermometer is kind of busting through the top of the limits. And so as I drove, this brand new day was not only my new day, but everyone on that road, and we all had the same possibility, something new. We didn't wake up to a sunrise. It just kind of happened through the rain today. But you know what I'm talking about. When you think about going to bed and your cares and your troubles are really huge and you put them on the pillow and you give them over to God and you wake to the new day, you know in your heart there's something new and possible yet to come. There's something sweet about that happening. That each one of us might use our gifts in a way we didn't use them the day before. That no matter how many mistakes we made, that we're going to do things right today. And it's a choice that we have to make with every new emerging day. But just because the sun comes up does not mean that our days are going to be perfect. In fact, there might come down the path at us some heavy things that overwhelm us. Or we might choose to make decisions to not look to the light for guidance and new possibility. Barbara read for us a couple moments ago from 1 John. At the end, she had a phrase, and you can go lean on it in your scripture a little bit later on, that we are people who have to worry about being blinded by the darkness. How can darkness, void of light, blind us? I think we all know too well. When we step away from the true light, Jesus, who knows where our path will go? Called to be salt and light. John chapter 1, verse 5. In the beginning was the Word. We know in John's gospel, it's his birth story of Bethlehem in a different way. It has this Genesis feel, and the Word was made flesh and came to dwell with us. But the Word was light. And it says this, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has never put it out. I don't care what comes your way. If you turn to the light of Jesus Christ, your path is going to be straight and it is going to be filled with great hope and possibility. There are going to be a lot of problems you'll go through. We all do. But the possibility and the hope is what God wants for you and me more than anything else if we trust that he is bringing true light into our lives. We have to trust that. I find great joy in John 1:5. I find great joy because it speaks about new possibilities for people like you and me, that we can live hope-filled lives no matter what comes down the path. And I do wish that the people I grew up with and the church that I used to go to when I was a child knew that scripture, because they used to come in as if there was everything crashing and burning around them, quite state and holy and I even remember our pastor. You remember messing around in the pew all the time. You've told me, and you said it was Rick that did it to you. It was really you doing it to Rick. Let's get that straight here. But I would imagine your pastor, like my pastor, stoically would look at us and judge us. To the point when we left and we would always have to shake his hand on the way out, he would clutch my hand and grab it with such force. Today, that would be considered abuse. Getting his message across that we weren't living the proper life as a follower of Jesus. And wow, I wish he was back on the face of this earth so that we could walk into the light together and see the new possibility and the great joy. People of God, when you walk as those of the light, with the spice of God in your possession, great things can happen. But the reality is we have to choose. We have to make a choice. What kind of light are we going to walk in, and what kind of spice are we going to be? You choose and I choose every day. And we can get coerced very quickly in the light that we will have cast through who we are. We might come into a room like this and we might get it mentally and we leave and it doesn't make that longest journey than any human being will ever take, the 18 inches from our head to our heart. And so we get out in the work world and we become quite vicious. And we cast light of darkness instead of light of great joy and hope. We hit situations where someone does us wrong and we want to tell them about it. We want to push them down. We want to power broker on their lives. And that's not about this true light. It's filled with compassion and joy and hope and promise. And it's the light we're all called to. We have to make a choice of whether we're going to live in that light. Equally, we have to make a choice of what kind of spice we're going to be. You know, not all spices are good. There are bitter herbs. And if you ever hang out too long with a person who leads with a bitterness, it's not fun. And it does not forward the message of Jesus, nor the kingdom of God. Called to two things. And these are the things I want to work with you on today. First, context and focus. And second, vision and future. Big words. Let's pull back. Context and focus. What do you mean? What I mean is we all have to recognize that we are going to build our lives on something. Jesus uses image like shifting sand or solid rock. You're going to build your life on something. What will it be? Will it be the context of Jesus who gave up his life as a sacrifice for us? We don't deserve it, so that we might be more than we were the day before because we're forgiven and renewed, restored in God's desire to be the people we were originally created to be, to do good works. Are we willing to follow that path and that light, or are we going to divert ourselves into some other way that revolves around who I am? Maybe you ask yourself the question I did this week, what are my core values? What are the things I build? What's the context and the focus of my life? I know some core values. I've been wrestling with them lately. When you make this journey from full-time employee to a semi-retirement kind of image and moving forward, you have to figure out your finances, don't you? And so finances become a big part of your life at certain phases, and probably at lots of phases. Your family, you want your family to function really well and to hit on all cylinders, and you don't want dysfunction, but I think the definition of family sometimes is dysfunction. You want to have a good job, and you want to be seen well in the community, and we all want those things, but if those things are focused on what we see instead of what God sees those things becoming for us, we see differently. We see in a different way. We build on a different foundation. I love Craig Groeschel is a pastor. He's one of the people I listen to. If you can get in touch, he comes out of the Covenant Church. He now has one of the largest Christian communities in the United States, emanating out of Oklahoma City. He also has multi-sites all over the greater Southwest. Craig, read his books, get in touch with him, follow him on social media. I have this little book that I write down wonderful quotes from people. Now, this book is half filled with quotes from Pastor Gary. I want you to know that. But in this book, I found a wonderful quote from Craig Groeschel that I had captured probably 2 years ago. And it just spoke back into my heart as I was thinking about today. He reflected on Psalm 119. And you probably know these words, maybe some of you, from an Amy Grant song that she sang, "Thy words are a lamp unto your path and a light to your feet." Craig Groeschel responded into what he was seeing people doing with the light of God in their possession. And his quote was, "The word of God is not a spotlight for your life. It's a light for your path." I think when you really gravitate to that moment, I think all too often we as God's people want the spotlight of God on us. God help me. God guide me. God make me the best me I can be. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do believe the first stop before you do that is to have context and foundation, the focus of Jesus, because Jesus does not look at me first. He looks at others, the least of these. We're called to be light and salt so that we don't look at ourselves first, but look beyond ourselves. the great commandment put into action. Love God and then love another person before you even begin to think about loving yourself. And if we do that, we definitely provide this bedrock for our context and our foundation for our life, our focus. It's so easy to get out of whack. It's so easy to think it's okay to pray to God that I need this to be a better person. I need your help to do this, Lord. Rather than pray for yourself, open yourself up and pray the prayer, God, use me, even though I am inferior, even though I feel like I don't measure up, just use me. And God's going to come and fill you with the light of the world, Jesus Christ, in ways that you will never, ever fathom nor imagine. Because that's what God does. He's able to do, Ephesians 3:20, immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagine. But now when you get your context and your focus right, the foundation you build on, now here's the next step. Not to get you comfortable. It's not what it's intended to do. It's not so that you can say, I've arrived, I've done what God wants me to do, now I'll just kind of hang out and make my life perfect. He gives that to every one of us, this opportunity to be salt and light, so that we can represent him to other people, its vision and its future. That worries people. Because what it says is that your life might be shaken up a little bit, that things might be rearranged, that you might have to see life differently. But if you go back and you page through Scripture from Genesis on, find someone in Scripture who does God's work, whose life isn't messed around and upside down and moved in different directions. Look at Abraham. You know, Abraham was promised to be the father of all nations. He doesn't, with Sarah, get his first child till he's after 100 years old. Look at Joshua. Joshua has to follow Moses. God says, be strong and courageous. I'm going to take you. He was so frightened. He didn't know what but he stepped into the moment. He became salt and light on behalf of God. Great things happened. Early church, Acts 2. Sometimes I think we think when the Holy Spirit comes, it's just a nice day of Pentecost and everything's fine. It is a shaking up of people's lives to the point where they, if they're going to move forward, they can't stay where they are. And if there's one thing I can leave with all of you, do not stay where you are right now in your life spiritually with God. Do not do it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go backwards instead of forward. The church that God bursts into our life and gifts us is a church of multiplication. It's a church of taking an individual and putting that individual together with lots of other individuals and using gifts well to forward their kingdom so that they're always different every day. So once again, I'd encourage you to pray the prayer every morning, God, use me. Don't know how you're going to use me, God, just use me and use me well. And when I put my head on the pillow, no matter what I've gone through, whether it's the valley of the shadow of death where we're told in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil for you are with me. Or whether it's the major place in that psalm where God anoints David's head with oil and his cup overflows. God will bring blessings if we allow for our lives to be built on a context and a focus of Jesus Christ, not fool ourselves, but truly do that, and be willing once we do that to approach our lives with vision and a future. So some stories. I think stories work best. And sometimes we get so into this that it becomes heavy. So I knew at the back door of our house, coming home back to Naperville, there is a flashlight. It's been there a long time. I believe it was there for a few dual purposes. One is in case of an emergency. You have one of those? And also, we used to have this little miniature dachshund who lasted with us on the face of this earth for 16 and a half years. How sweet. But, you know, when you take him out at 11 o'clock at night, you want some kind of light to surround what's happening outside. Coyotes, Pastor Gary stealing dogs. I don't know what might happen. But you have to, so the light's there, and I knew what I was going to find. I just knew it. Didn't want to know it, but I knew it. I walked up to that light when I got home the other day, and I turned it on, and it was dead. If that doesn't translate into this moment of being true light and salt for Jesus Christ on the face of this earth, I don't know what does. Because all of us think there's going to be a moment where we can use that light. And so we hear God's word, and we kind of put it into this place in our life and say, I'll do someday. I'll step up for God. It's okay. And you know, when you go to do that, there's a possibility, because you haven't nurtured it and worked with God through it, that it won't be the light that you're supposed to be shining. In fact, it may be light that blinds you because it's darkness. That wouldn't be good for God's kingdom. So I equally did what I knew. Another little tale. I moved from that moment and went over to our Lazy Susan in our kitchen, and I kind of spun it around, and there's like a gazillion spices in there. Eileen and I were laughing because we pulled one out. I think it was oregano. It was used before 2013. Now, that would be good in any kind of sauce that you're making. Not. And so I did what my favorite spice, cinnamon. I love cinnamon. So we had some cinnamon sticks. I think there are a couple jars in. And I opened it up, and I held it to my nose, and it smelled like cardboard. And it totally lost its ability to do what it's supposed to do, because it was sitting there latently in a jar waiting for the moment it was going to engage. And guess what? It's dead. And I don't think there's anybody in this room this morning who wants to be found DOA before God. You want to be filled with life before God. I know you do. But the way you do that is not wait for the beautiful day to do it or the new opportunity. It's to wake every morning and say, use me, God. And God will do just that. A couple little stories now, a couple trivia moments about me that you probably don't want to know, but you're going to find out anyway. I don't like driving at night. I found that out. Gary says it's because I'm getting old. But that's not true. I just don't like it. I don't know what it is. I'd rather drive during the day. You know, let me go. We drove to Phoenix a couple of weeks ago. You know, two huge days in the light. It was sweet. You can see what's around you. Don't like night. I went to the doctor to find out, just to make sure that my vision was correct and it wasn't being overwhelmed by some sort of cataract adventure that was heading into my head. And he said, no, you're doing okay. So I couldn't figure it out. And one of my friends said there was a report done about a year ago about inferior headlamps in cars. Did you know about this report? I looked it up, and it was definitely a report that brought new light to my understanding. On that report, there were Mercedes-Benz on that report. And there were, although they don't make them anymore, Yugos on that report, you know. The span from A to Z, didn't matter how much money was put into the vehicle. If it had been given inferior headlamps, wasn't going to get the job done. And sure enough, I found my wife's car right on that list. It was number 3. I'm like, oh, man, if you don't have the right light, it's not going to focus where you need it to focus. You think it will be, you're going to be blinded, not by the light, but by the darkness. Just don't know. Now, on the other hand, something I do like to do, love to cook. You didn't know that about me, did you? But I don't like to use recipes. It can be fun when you hit the mark. And there have been times that I've cook dinner for our family. And like my kids are like, whoa, Dad, this is really good. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't know. I just was doing what I thought was good to my palate. And there have been times that it has been a train wreck. And the times that it has been a train wreck are the moments I put too much spice in, thinking it was going to do what I wanted it to do, and it did the exact opposite. I think in our lives, there are moments when we put too much spice into our lives that gets in the way of the true spice of Jesus Christ. The salt in that image was used to preserve meat. That's what it was used for in Jesus' day, to allow food not to go rancid. And we don't need, we have probably too many preservatives in our, and we're told to stay away from sodium, right? And so does it click in? Well, here, just step back and think of salt in that image as you being a spicy person for Jesus Christ. That means that when people see you and see what you're about and understand your life, they see Jesus through you. But the problem is if you throw too many worldly spices on top of your life because you think they're good, like, big bank accounts or wanting to have a wild life or going, you know, the things that get us into trouble and move us away from God. And when we try to spice them in and say, well, I'm still a Christian, it's okay. I can be mean to my employees at work. It's okay because I follow Jesus. I can have this political opinion, but it's okay because I follow Jesus. The two have to align. Your spice needs to be the same spice as Jesus Christ. He's compassionate and filled with hope and promise and forgiveness. And if you don't have that same spice in you, you've put too much into your dish of life. And it can get in the way and make you a mess. So those little stories, I hope, might drill down into your life this importance for us to be light and spice for God. Because he needs us. We're his plan. He puts us on this earth to do good things on his behalf. And when we don't, there's a piece missing. Now, I would be remiss if on the last time I spoke here, I did not take time to think back, to think present, to think future of all those who had a context and a focus in the ministry of this church and a vision and a future. And I could spend hours doing this. I apologize beforehand if I leave any of you out. I'm going to do some broad strokes today. First place I want to go, though, is when I arrived here. We had gone through a very difficult pastoral transition. There had been a pastor who served here for 11 months, and it was quite a difficult time for this church. But we also had an individual who came alongside of this church for over a year. His name, Vic Brandt. And Vic was just the right person that God put. He was light and salt to this church. He brought love and forgiveness and healing. And I followed in on Vic's footsteps, and it was a gift to me. And I give thanks that he stepped into that place to be salt and light on behalf of God's kingdom. And he did not want anything back from it. He was very humble. I think about our leaders that started this church, Pastor Luther Key and Pastor Sig Berg. I think about any of you who are charter members that are still a part of this church, or if you came along early on Westmoreland, you have been salt and light. This church is what it is today because you have taken seriously what it means to be the Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, the body of Christ that works together for good, not the spotlight on me, but the honor to thee. But it's not just about big names. It's about the people who do the average, gentle things. Because the scripture would tell us that those individuals are equally as important. So if you ever taught our kids around here, like, I can't tell you how important that is. I just talked to Craig Swanby. Many of you know Craig. He works for World Vision, by the way, which is kind of neat, in Washington, D.C., the organization I'm going to work with. Craig was nurtured in this church by people like you. And now his life is being given to the gospel of Jesus Christ in a unique way. And there are many others just like him who have gone down the path because people teach children or mentor high school or middle school age kids, and great things happen. Light and salt. Not spotlight on me, but be the light for my path of my feet and help me to look forward to bring your spice into this kingdom, Lord, and to make a difference. I think about the people who will serve at Buddy Break. If you don't know what Buddy Break is, awaken. It is our special needs weekend. It's a great opportunity to be salt and light, and it is unsung because it happens on Saturday when the great numbers of people aren't here, but there are great numbers of people caring for the special needs community of the greater Naperville area. And if you're doing that, way to go. You're being salt and light, and you're not doing that for yourself. I give thanks to God for people who serve in our nursery. You know, we have a group of children right now that are helping you to focus because there's not a lot of crying going on. And that's a gift, but it's more than that. It's care and it's love being extended when parents can come into this place and have, and that's a great place. There will be people being baristas today and others at the Welcome Center, and all of this comes together. There will be people who will pull weeds this week. There will be people who will clean bathrooms and straighten up around Good Shepherd's campus. Light and salt. It doesn't have a level. It has an intensity of being able to say, I built on a foundation that has context and focus, and I want it to be future-oriented, filled with vision. And when that happens, super things happen. If you've ever been a leader on our church council, way to go. Now, Gary and I know too well, over my 39 years of ministry, I think I was nurtured into this environment as you were 39 years ago by probably an older pastor who said, you better buckle down for those church council meetings. Oftentimes in churches, church council meetings are seen as struggle. We have a culture here which is sweet. So I want to say thank you to any of you who have served on council, and if you have been a president of this council, the first one that was here when I arrived, Connie Titi. Thanks. Today, Ted Brockman. But we don't have a statue of Connie around here, nor of Ted, nor of any of the rest of you. You did it because God put it on your heart to do it. And that's what this context is all about. We are the best church inside these walls and outside these walls when great things happen. We have a phenomenal missions opportunity. The reason why you guys are going to Pine Ridge, I believe, is due to one individual who God hijacked in a unique way here at Good Shepherd long ago. Cindy Engel. Cindy was a nurse at Good Sam Hospital, and she felt God calling her to be salt and light, and she came to Gary and I, and she said, I want to go on a short-term mission. She really wanted a month, but she found out there weren't month adventures at that time, so she signed up for a three-month adventure to go to Madagascar, this huge island off the southern, southeastern coast of Africa. It's poverty-laden. She would have lost her job if she hadn't left her job. So she told them at Good Sam, I'm done. And she went for 3 months, not knowing what the future would be. Remember, this is future-oriented. Cindy came back, and she was powered with the presence of God. And she brought us images, and we responded. And then she came along and said, I think we should go to Honduras. And Gary, come with me. And things have just... they've mushroomed beautifully by God's grace because someone chose to take God up to be salt and light. Cindy didn't have any advanced degree in missions work when she did that. She just had a heart. And worship this morning was Dave Penn. Dave and Jan just were in a pretty severe car accident, and so they're healing. We're thankful that they are okay and moving forward. But one of the things that dawned on me when I thought about people who were willing to be salt and light, the Penns years ago had this just big heart for homeless individuals in the greater area of Chicago. And so they partnered with an organization that we had done work with before, Hesed House, and they came up with a once every other month opportunity to do this from early in the afternoon through to the next day, care for individuals who are homeless. And they poured their heart into it. And I would imagine in this room there have been many of us who have gone and served there, and it has been enriching to the people of the community. It's not a spotlight for us, once again. It is a light to our feet. The great thing about Jan and Dave is that while they were doing this, they did what every good leader who is salt and light needs to do. And this is, once again, another step in the journey. They did what Paul calls us to do. That is, always have a Timothy. That means always have somebody you can not push and you run away, but hand the baton to so that they can move forward. And so Jan and Dave found Matt and Sherilyn Hebel, who today are doing that same work with the same passion and the same desire. And we could go on and on. And as I said, if I've missed any of you, my heart would be sad if you're sitting there saying, well, what about me? Remember, it's not a spotlight on your life. It's about a light to your path. And so all of us, when we step into this moment of being salt and light, we have to get over ourselves. Because the gospel is not about medals. Remember in Sunday school, in Lutheran Sunday school, we always had medals. Any of you have? I think I probably still have mine. And we'd wear them like they were some badge of courage. They probably were going to Sunday school at that age. I don't know. But that's not what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is representing God, built on his foundation, and knowing that you're not going to give in to the blinding of the darkness. You're going to forward yourself. And one final, well done, good and faithful service to everybody in this room. It was 5 years ago about that we realized that God had a new call on the life of this church. And that call was into the journey that we have called generosity. You know, one of the greatest barriers to church growth often becomes finances. I've been meeting with pastors on behalf of World Vision, and as I talk to them and talk about their ministry, every one of the pastors I've met with has mentioned stewardship, the classic word stewardship, time, talent, and treasure, as being one of the biggest barriers. And it is. It's hard to motivate people to think beyond themselves into what God calls them to. But it's the same journey of being salt and light. I believe deep inside everybody's soul is this big hole. And we walk around with it and our lives go in circles and they go to dead-end streets because we haven't figured out how to work with our financial resources on the face of this earth the way God told us to. He's very, very direct and specific. He says to everybody who follows in his way, who wants to be salt and light, you have 100% of what I've given to you. I've given you 100%. And I want you to give back a tithe, a praise offering. Scripture in the Old Testament calls it 10% of tithes. I think Jesus takes it and ratchets it up to that sacrificial giving. It's a gift of the heart. But you see, when we say to ourselves, well, God, you do know I have lots of bills, don't you? And God, you know I have kids in college right now. And you know I've got some things. I don't have a job right now. Or I'm on a fixed income. I don't think God, could you imagine God being on a fixed income? I mean, what would happen? Like one day he might say, you're in my spreadsheet and I'm going to work with you. Sorry to the rest of you, you're not on my spreadsheet anymore. No, God is a God who gives 100% all the time. I think he calls us to that. And so this community of faith that I love so much. You, we all went on this generosity journey. And our financial resources have increased over and over and over again. And it's been sweet. Why? Not to shine the spotlight on us, but to take these broken down vessels that only can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, to be made whole, to step into the moment and build our lives truly on the foundation of what God says so that we have a future and a focus moving forward, and that's what God does. And He'll do it over and over and over again if we're willing. This is called kingdom culture. It's not easy. It's challenging. It's step up and look at life differently. It's about not being comfortable, but moving forward with something fresh and new. And you don't have to travel globally to do it. You don't have to move to Arizona. You can look at your next door neighbor or the person across the street. And I know in Naperville, we don't know our neighbors very well. We think we do. And really pouring life into them because you are light and you are salt. Of thinking when you go to work tomorrow that you're going to go to work as the best spice for Jesus Christ. And everything that people reflect and see through you is going to be the light of the world, Jesus. You can make a difference because that's what we were created to do. And I pray that in the journey to come for this church, that God takes salt and light and multiplies it again and again in everyone who walks through these doors and every future person who becomes a part of this church. May God richly bless each one of you to kingdom culture. It has been an honor to serve this place, an honor. Let's pray. Lord God, to your great goodness, thank you for embracing us with your love. Allow us to feel your presence of joy and to be embraced in an opportunity to represent you well on the face of this earth as light and as spice for your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Face all opportunity. May God go before you to point the way. May God go behind you to encourage you. May God go beside you to be your best friend. May God go above you to watch over you. And may God go within you, giving you power, perseverance, uncontainable joy, the peace that passes human understanding, and a desire to be salt and light every day. We proclaim this in our God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing together, God of grace, God of glory.